walk with me for a moment back into the story itself. Hear the words as John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, tells of those moments that morning. John's Gospel, chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went right in. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated there where Jesus' body must have been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them that I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went out to the disciples with the news. "I've seen the Lord," she told them, what he had said, these things to her. Every time I've heard this story read, it's always told as if Mary is just happy as a clam. But as I think about what it actually says, I think it's quite miserable, actually. In fact, it might be one of the most depressing scenes that Mary's ever had in her life, apart from the few words that Jesus says. But think about this. She's going down to the tomb, and we can only imagine she expects that she'll see the sealed tomb, and she's going to stand there and work through her grief, process her mourning, her loss of Jesus at what was supposed to be a great Passover festival and a crowning moment in the kingdom, but turned into this dreadful, terrible sealed tomb and all hope gone. Things had moved dramatically in a different direction. And it's true that sometimes in life we're looking forward to good things and then things move, or people move, or our situation moves. And then we just keep mulling over that grief of what it might have been and what it could have been, but yet now is a loss. Well, what do we do when that happens? We go to people we know who care about us, and she does. She goes to Peter and John, tells them this dreadful move. And they all move themselves down back to see what's really the deal now that maybe it's getting a little brighter in the sky. They go, they look, and clearly the body is missing. Not just moved, missing. I mean, the claws are there. I mean, if someone had moved the body, why would they strip it off first? That's just bizarre. No, he's missing. Sometimes we understand what it feels to miss things. There's things we need and we can't get them. There's things we want to work out and they're not working out, and we miss an opportunity because we didn't get the right deadline in time and place, or something moved on faster than we thought and it's over. And we can search all we want, but that opportunity is gone. And so the guys are gone too. They leave. They go home. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Mary's left behind again. So she stoops down to look in to see if, I don't know why, she just wants to, I guess. And she starts to weep. Not only is he dead, he's moved and missing. And then Jesus starts to speak to her after she sees angelic forms in the tomb from behind her outside, further still. But it's rather depressing what Jesus says. Don't cling to me. Really? I've followed you for years. I've sacrificed time, I've money. I mean, we've been a part of the entourage, Jesus, and you're going to tell me don't cling to you? I mean, really, if you're alive, maybe this is the reset moment. Maybe we keep marching forward with God's plan, right? We can do this. You're alive again. It will show the leaders that they can't even kill you. It's going to be, no. It's not like it was before. It's not going to be like it was before. I'm going to the Father. And suddenly Jesus starts speaking words that maybe Mary doesn't know, but these were words that Jesus said to his disciples in the upper room before he was taken captive, before he was betrayed, before he was murdered. He said, I'm going to go from you. I'm going to return to the Father. And here he's saying it again, now resurrected. And it's better for you that I do, because if I stay here, you'll fixate on me rather than the Spirit who goes out in the world. When the Holy Spirit comes, it will be better than me being here. This is just a temporary transition. You just need to know that death isn't the end anymore. Don't cling to me. I'm going to my Father and your Father, and I'm going to my God and your God. Go and tell the others. Remind the others that Jesus' God can be their God and a father to them. Yeah, I'm Jesus. I'm God's son in a very unique and unexplainable way. But you also will call him Father. Not just great force of the universe before whom all things tremble. You'll talk to him like family. Family that never moves. Family that never shifts away. Family that never goes missing. Family that doesn't end up in a grave one day, although all other family members do. So Mary goes. I mean, this is good news, right? And what do the other disciples respond? Not even written. They don't have anything to say. Are you out of your mind? He's missing. Nothing else is written. Poor Mary. How sad. I guess nobody believes me. Did I really see it? Did this really happen? You ever told someone something amazing and they just weren't amazed? They thought you were a little off? They thought maybe you'd shifted? Maybe something was missing in your world? It's not fun to be the first person who sees Jesus. There's nothing joyous about it at all, because no one believes you. Because they looked, and there's nothing there, Mary. Maybe you need to go home and sleep a little bit. But Jesus' words are still true. This is just a transition. Because the goal, the point is, my God becomes your God. My Father becomes your Father. And really, that's the only kind of movement that really matters, the only kind of movement that ever really lasts, the only kind of cling that never goes missing. Mary, I'm kind of sorry you had to be the one who experienced Jesus on that morning all by yourself. It's no fun to be out there and even be told by Jesus, don't cling to me. Don't cling to me. This is just for your assurance. But that voice of the gardener turned Jesus is a voice that calls to us too. I'm going to be with the Father so that you may call him Father too. I'm going to be with God so that you can be with God too. I'm transitioning upward in a way that you can transition upward and it'll never go missing. Are you willing to move past trying to find and pull together all of the broken pieces, all of the dead pieces, all of the fleeting and moving pieces in your life? Are you willing to reach out for something that does go upward and does not stop? Maybe on a day like today, when we anticipate spring showing up soon, when we anticipate the new life that God gives, this is an opportunity for us to say, okay, I'm not going to cling. I'm not going to cling to what I know already, what my hands have touched, what my eyes have seen. I'm going to reach out to what is true in the future. This God can be my God, my Father, just as he is your Father, Jesus. In the paper bulletin you were handed when you came in this morning, I hope, you'll see that there is printed there at the bottom of our program order of prayer. A prayer by which we say to the Lord, yeah, I keep trying to find the moving, missing pieces in life, but maybe I need to not cling to those anymore. Maybe, like Mary, I need to take assurance that I'm following after one whose upward, onward movement will be true for me too. If you're here today and you've never talked to God except anything other than, oh, please have mercy, I'm such a wreck. These are words that offer you to enter into knowing God the way the Lord himself has paved before us. Let's pray them together, shall we? God, much in my life continues to move. Even my best choices leave me with emptiness and loss. But I can see that Jesus was brought from death to life so that I can experience you fully as Father. Forgive me for clinging to earthbound things. Fill the empty spaces in my life with your life-giving Spirit, now and forever, because of Jesus. Amen. If you've never prayed a prayer of honest intention and desire to move forward with the Lord, to be your Father, I invite you to share that with me by taking one of the cards in the pew rack in front of you, I hope they're there, writing your name, and marking that you've prayed this prayer for the first time, and after the service, I'd invite you to either leave it on the table here or hand it to me or put it on my music stand. I'd be so happy to pray along with you as your brother who shares the same Father, the same love, the same upward hope. No matter what moves, no matter what changes, no matter what loss takes place or grief affects you in the future, we can share in this hope that God will not just keep us alive, but he will revive us. Let us be glad as the choir sings these words.